إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، once again I welcome all of you. We continue إن شاء الله تعالى reading tonight from the same book الأجوبة المفيدة عن أسئلة المناهج الجديدة Beneficial Answers to Questions on Innovative Methodologies by our noble Sheikh العلامة الدكتور صالح الفوزان بن فوزان حفظه الله تعالى ومتعه بالصحة والعافية وغفر له ولوالديه وللمسلمين والمسلمات أمين. And it's very important to understand the minhaj issues as well, because the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم warned us against deviant sects, that the people, they're not going to be all on what he has left the companions upon صلى الله عليه وسلم. And that which the Prophet ﷺ mentioned to the companions and warned them against, the division that is caused by a people who they invent and come up with new methodologies and ideologies that opposes what the Prophet ﷺ left the companions upon. So that which the Prophet ﷺ has mentioned to the companions had happened. Some of it happened in the time where some of the companions are still alive, like the Khawarij, for instance, one of the most vicious and dangerous group is the Khawarij, and their fitna happened in the time of the Sahaba Ridwanullah Ali. The Khawarij, they are those who killed Uthman radiallahu anhu. And from there the fitna started, the big fitna. They went against Ali radiallahu anhu and declared him to be kafir and the companions. So now that will tell you one thing, if the Khawarij did this to the companions, now that will make you understand what the Khawarij are doing these days. Daesh and the ISIS and the Qaeda and the Shabab and whatever their names may be. Jabhat al-Nusra or this or that, they have names. But doesn't mean nothing. Those names do not change the reality about those people. They are Khawarij. They are Kilab al-Nar, the dogs of the hellfire. The Prophet ﷺ warned against them. Aynam. So, what they do now, declare Muslims to be kuffar and therefore fight them and kill them and this is nothing new, because these are the same people, their predecessors. They fought against the best of the people, the companions of Allah. They declared the companions to be kuffar. Ali radiallahu anhu, the Khalifa al-Rashid. So now that should tell you about them. Ala ayyin, this is very important for us to pay attention to this class, so we can understand how this, because these groups and these deviant sects, they have ideologies that they spread amongst the people, especially the youth. They target the youth. So we need to learn how they function, what are at least some of their principles. We're not gonna, in this book, answers are very concise. I'm not gonna tell you details about these deviant groups or deviant people, dear leaders, but at least we know that there is such groups who are deviant groups, so we can be aware of certain people who are dear leaders or those who are amongst them, so that we can be aware of all of that, inshallah ta'ala, and protect ourselves, protect our aqidah, protect our youth and the like. The last question we stopped at, the question about the anashid and the plays. Question number 30 in the English translation. What is the ruling on the religious plays in Islamic anashid? They call them Islamic Anashid, that some of the youth perform in the summer schools. The answer by our noble Sheikh, he says, I do not hold plays to be permissible. And he says, because, first, they distract and preoccupy the audience, since the viewers look at the movements of the actor and laugh. And for the most part, the objective behind plays is to entertain and amuse the audience only. This is from one perspective. So plays, they come up, not only that, because Allah musta'an, and when they make the people laugh, based on lies. And the Prophet says, woe to the one who lied to make people laugh, woe to him, woe to him. This includes, in this, the ulama they mentioned, is cracking jokes. You know, some people say, hey, you want to hear this joke? Tell them, no, I don't want to hear it, man. Fear Allah, taqillah. You don't lie, because people, those jokes are lies. And worse, if they are lies that involves backbiting certain people, because people, they make jokes on people because of their race. They make jokes on white people. They make jokes on black people. They make jokes on people from south. They make jokes on the people from the east. They make jokes on foreigners. They make jokes on people from India. They make jokes on people from Pakistan. They make jokes on the people's food. The people, this and that and that. And that's not permissible, not all this. Making fun of people to make people laugh, that's strictly forbidden. So jokes and people cracking jokes or talk shows and this, when they just crack jokes and people laugh, and it's like, man, this man is skillful. Skillful in what? In disobeying Allah. So if somebody comes to you and says, hey, you want to hear this joke? Tell them, don't make a joke of yourself, brother. And jokes are not permissible. You can joke around if something that is halal, permissible, doesn't involve a lie. It's okay for Muslims to, you know, be cool, like we say, alhamdulillah, and say something, but as long as it is permissible. As it is permissible. But we don't joke with the things that are haram and involves lies or involves backbiting or belittling a certain people or others. All that stuff is not permissible in our religion. So that's the shaykh. So that's from one perspective. Secondly, the characters who the actors personify may be from the great figures of Islam, such as the companions. Such as the companions. And this is considered belittling them, whether you perceive it or not, the Shaykh says. Whether you perceive it or not. For example, a child or a young boy or person who does not have the proper appearance may act as one of the Muslim scholars or companions. This is not permissible, since it consists of belittling Islamic personalities through the evil or incorrect appearance of the actor. Then the Shaykh said, suppose someone comes and acts like you, walking like you, and talking like you. Would you be pleased with this, or would you consider it degrading to you, even though the actor intends good according to his perception? People do not like anyone to belittle and degrade them. Third, and this is the most dangerous, the Shaykh says, is when one of them plays the role of disbelieving character, riyadu billah. In that play, he played a role as a disbeliever of a person who's a disbeliever, like Abu Jahl, the Pharaoh. Even in some riyadu billah, they even have the nerve to play the role of the shaitan. Satan, riyadu billah. And they speak with words of disbelief. In the play, they think, now that's an art. And they speak words of disbelief in those plays, thinking that his intention is only to refute it or explain how the days of ignorance were. Okay? The Shaykh says, Shaykh Salah al-Fawzan, he said, this is imitating them. And Allah's Messenger وسلم, forbade us from imitating the polytheists and the disbelievers. So this person who playing these roles, he's imitating them by acting like them and repeating their statements. Because in those plays they have to, you know, say things that these kuffar say by insulting Islam or insulting the Prophet of Islam or the Quran, making fun and mockery of Islam or the Muslims. And this is not befitting for a Muslim to play a role and make these statements or these things. The Shaykh said another one of its dangers is that it is a method of giving da'wah that is not from the guidance of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or from the guidance of our predecessors or the Muslims in general. Of course, those who are known to do this these days is the Ikhwan al-Muslimun. This deviant group, dangerous group. They have a lot of dangers. They, subhanAllah, they lead this ummah in our times in a lot of problems, a lot of turmoil and trials. Al-Ikhwan al-Muslimun. And the Muslim Brotherhood, founded by Hassan al-Banna, the Egyptian, in Egypt. And almost a century ago, not quite, but over a half a century ago. And since then, their evil spread and spread like a poison in many Muslim lands, wa'iyadu billah. And they are very dangerous. They're the one that known with this anashi plays and to turn the people away from the deen. They don't teach the youth the aqidah, the tawheed, the sunnah, madhab al-salaf. They take the youth away from the ulama. Because the Shaykh, he mentioned in another answer previously, one of the answers in the beginning of the book about the camps, and some people take some youth, like in the summer, they have these organizations and associations, and they came in a way that they want to do good for the youth. They like, look, bring your youth, we're going to take them to the mountain, we're going to spend a couple of weeks together, teach them how to be a real man. Because they're going to spend time in there to depend on themselves, how to, you know, to see the real life. And take, but what they do, you think they teach them Quran, Aqidah, Tawheed, Talatat Usul? La, teach them Anashid and plays. Aynam. Al-Ikhwan al-Muslimun. The Shaykh Hafidhahullah Ta'ala, Shaykh Salah al-Ghazali, says these plays were first performed abroad by the disbelievers, and they then crept into our ranks under the name of calling to Islam. That's how they call to Islam. Ikhwal Muslimun, they want to call by using entertainment, by entertaining people. The Shaykh said it is incorrect to consider it one of the means of da'wah. Ikhwal Muslimin, they said this is one of the most important means of da'wah. And ashir and plays, entertainment. They said, but because you penetrate to the hearts of the people. And you capture the audience because they clap for you and they blah blah blah. Talk about that play, entertainment. The Shaykh says this is incorrect to consider it one of the means of da'wah. The means of da'wah, or praise be to Allah, are based on what has been revealed in the text, free from this method. In the footnote, they said that there was a book published which called Strong Proofs Indicating That the Means of Da'wah Are Dependent on Revelation, written by the Shaykh Abdus Salam bin Burgess, Al-Abd al-Karim, Rahimahullah. It is a good book with regard to its subject, and we recommend the people to read it. The Shaykh Hafidhahullah continued by saying, the call to Islam was successful throughout the various eras without the aid of these plagues. These plagues were not known in times of the companions, the Tabi'een, the Qurun al-Mufaddala. The call to Islam was successful throughout the various eras without the aid of these plagues. When this method came about, it did not help the people at all, nor did it have any effect on them. And this indicates that they are negative and that there is no benefit in them, rather that they only cause harm. And they said, and if it is argued, if somebody wants to bring an argument, even the angels take on the appearance of humans. You see, somebody may say, well, hold on, Jibreel alayhi salam came in the form of a man. That's what they use. That's the argument they say. The Ikhwan. And then they say, look, they say, now you cannot take the role of this man. This, the angels, they take the role of a human. Or they appear. They take on the appearance of a human. The Shaykh said, we say an angel comes in the form of a human being because man is not able to look at him in his natural form. Well, the human being, they're not able to look at the angels in their natural form. And this is to be benefit, and this is to the benefit actually of a human being. Since if the angels were to come in their actual forms, humans would not be able to talk to them, speak to them, or even look at them. And furthermore, the Shaykh mentioned that angels do not imitate the speech of the humans whose forms they take, nor do they walk in their manner or do other things that these actors today do. The Shaykh said, when the angels take on the form of a human being, they do not intend to perform acting in the way that these people intend. Angels take the form of humans for a beneficial reason, since they have appearances that differ from the appearance of humans. But as for humans, how can one change his appearance from a human to another human? What is the purpose of this? So these plays and things, that's not permissible in our religion. So you find sometimes so-called Muslim school, Islamic school, they still do this. Islamic schools, especially on the graduation, they do this. They paint the little boys and girls into different, one to a rabbit, one to a flower, the other one a cat, the other one is a lizard. Who wants his boy to be a lizard? they be calling him since dead for the rest of his life as a lizard. That's the lizard right there. That's the rabbit. That's the frog. And they be hopping like a frog, quacking like a frog, and all this. So some of those Islamic, so-called Islamic schools, because they affiliate with the Ikhwan al-Muslimin. That's what it is, because unfortunately, Allah Musta'an, here in North America, those big organizations that they have this big outreach now amongst many Muslims, they are Ikhwanis, like ICNA and ISNA and the like. They are Ikhwani organizations. They are upon the madhab and of the Ikhwan, upon the methodology of al-Ikhwan. Al-Sheikh Mukhbil used to call them al-Ikhwan Muflisun, the bankrupt Ikhwanis. Or he called them al-Ikhwan Muflisun. They the Satan's brothers. For them to adhere to the way of the Sunnah, they adhere to the invitations of the Shaitan of Iblis, wal-iyadu billah. So you be careful. Sometimes certain Muslims, families, Allah musta'an, they are in an area whether, you know, to make a decision whether to send their little ones to this so-called Islamic schools run by Ikhwanis, or public schools, what they do. And then they choose to, they says, okay, well, at least we're going to send them to the Muslims, and this and that and that, okay? But in this, people need to ask the ulama. Ask the ulama, this very important question, with details, to explain to the ulama, you live in an area, there is this ikhwanis, who they teach the ikhwan, and this and that, but there is this public school, and this and that. And then you get an answer from the ulama. But anyway, those who put them, their children in these so-called Islamic schools, you have to be careful. You got to sit with them when they come back from school. What the teacher teach you? What this? What is that? What's that? So that you can be sure that your children, they're not year after year observing the Ikhwani Minhaj. The Ikhwani Minhaj. Because you didn't send them there so that the Ikhwani corrupt their Minhaj and their Aqidah. You send them there because education in this country is an obligation. It's obligatory too, so that your children have education. And of course, some parents, they cannot homeschool. Those who can homeschool, that's good for them, alhamdulillah. That's another alternative. But those who cannot homeschool, then they be faced with these two, subhanAllah, choices. One of them is better than the other. Whether send them to the Ikhwani schools or to public school. Which one? Both of them, subhanAllah, is Allah al-Musta'an. But you have to be careful and sit with your children. If this is the case, you get once they come from school, come here, what happened? What did you study today? Well, the teacher, he said this. No, son, the teacher said that, but that's all what the curriculum says. That we Muslims, alhamdulillah, okay? This and this. And I want to share with you, subhanAllah, it's very important for us to take care of the aqidah of our children. Because we want our children to have a secular knowledge. We want them to, alhamdulillah, to get their, at least their high school diploma, or GED, or whatever the case. They know a little bit of math, physics, history, biology, and the like. But then we don't want them to be excellent in all those fields, and then their aqidah is corrupt at the hands of non-Muslims or at the hands of Ikhwanis or Sufis or even Shia, wal-iyadu billah. You see? So it's very important you have to do your homework and do your job as a parent, especially the father. If your children go to so-called Islamic school, Ikhwanis run by the Ikhwanis or Sufis or a public school, then you have to really, really make it your obligation and make it a priority to spend some time every day with your child. Come here, son. And I'm going to share with you a story that we heard it from Sheikh Falah Ismail when he was in America visiting. And he said, subhanAllah, he gave an example of the Shia actually. He said, let me tell you an example of the Shia. So the Shia, they are allowed to live in Saudi Arabia. They are allowed to live in Saudi Arabia, not in big numbers, but, he said, but they're not allowed to have their own schools and their own masajid. They're not allowed. Not like here in America, the Shia, they have their own masjid, their own school, and they teach kufr, and teach their children to curse Abu Bakr and Umar and all that, and Aisha, walayyadu billah. No, no, no. In Saudi, they tell them, okay, you live here and that's it. But you want to study, you want to get an education, you get to study in our schools. And they study Tawheed. They study the curriculum of Tawheed, Talatat Rasul. They study the same curriculum. They don't have their own curriculum. They study that Aisha is Ummul Mu'mineen, that Abu Bakr is the best of the people after the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Radiallahu anhu. That Umar too. The Shaykh Falah Ismail, he says, you will think that this man who now has PhD in physics, or he's a doctor, a Shi'i, huh? After all these years, 27 years or 25 of studying Tawheed and Aqidat al-Salaf, the manhaj of the Sahaba, you think this man is already upon the way of the Salaf, right? No, he's still a Shi'i. Still a Shia. Every year from grade one. I remember I read to you a couple of weeks ago the curriculum of the Aqidah on the fourth grade. Remember? You remember? To give you an example. What they have Tawheed and Aqidah and Manhaj of the Salaf from first grade. And that stays with them. They study that in all levels until they finish their studies. Tawheed and the Aqidah of the Salaf. So the Shaykh said, he will think, SubhanAllah, after all these years of Tawheed, Aqidah, Manhaj al-Salaf, Sahaba, Tabi'een, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, this, Aisha radiallahu anha, you will think that, okay, the Shia, they're going to go to their parents and say, look, you guys are wrong, man. No. They continue to be upon that Shia. Why? The Shaykh said, for a simple reason. Those parents, the Shia parents, when they put their children in those schools, the Sunnah schools, they tell them, son, daughter, you're going to study. Those schools are not our schools. Pay attention, there's a lot of things they're going to tell you, they're not wrong, right, they're wrong. With their manhaj, okay? So learn what they tell you. They tell you Abu Bakr is the best of the people, remember that. If they ask you a question, who is the best of the Sahaba? Abu Bakr. Din Umar. Din Uthman. Din Ali. But with us, it's not the case. Abu Bakr is a kafir. Umar a kafir. You see? That's what they teach them. They come back, son, what did they tell you? They says, Aisha radiallahu anha, people lied against her, and actually Allah freed her, and there is ayat, son. Same thing. Remember this only to answer so you can get a good grade. If you are asked about Aisha, what happened to Aisha, say yes. In the question, say yes. Aisha, she was innocent, and they lied against her, and Allah freed her. But in the creed, in the Shia creed, no, she's a zaniya, a'udhu billah. She's adulterer. And she's this, and she's that, and she's... See, you see? So that's why the parents... Now you find a Salafi, he put his son, his daughters, in a Islamic school, so-called, Ikhwan, run by Ikhwanis, and that's it. Never check on his son or his daughter. Now when his son is 16 and 17, he's like, oh, Anwar Awlaqi is the main sheikh. Awlaqi is my sheikh. He's like, son, Awlaqi the ulama? Yeah, Awlaqi says the ulama, but for the past 10 years, those teachers in Islamic school, they were telling him, he's the main sheikh. You see how it is? Now after that, they're like, oh, Bin Laden is the big sheikh. Son, what are you talking about? Sheikh Bin Baz says, no, Sheikh Bin Baz, your son don't even know you, Sheikh Bin Baz. But for past 10 years, when he was like 3 or 4, now he's 15 or 14, the Ikhwanis in the Ikhwan school, they were telling him, look, Bin Laden is a big figure. Sayyid Qutb is the main sheikh. Hassan al-Banna is the sheikh. The example. You see? Now, if those parents, they were not paying attention to their children, now after all 10 years, now they want to change? SubhanAllah. That is very important, Yaqwan. Barakallahu fiqh. There's another question. Question number 31. What is your opinion on some of the youth that speak in gatherings against the rulers of this country, reviling and criticizing them? Of course, they ask about the country, meaning Saudi Arabia, because once again, the Sheikh is from Saudi Arabia, and the questions they were posed to him in Saudi Arabia, in his classes, Hafidhahullah. Now, but this is actually usul, because when the ulama, they answer based on principle, and this does not just apply on the rulers of Saudi Arabia, but this, what we're going to learn, applies on, in general, on the Muslim rulers, in general. So the answer to that, because this is another thing, that you find some youth, they go to get something to eat, or something to drink, some coffee or juice or whatever. And then you see them while they're waiting for the food or while they're eating, talking about the rulers, slandering them, mocking them, belittling them, and all of that. And he became their favorite snack. Not pistachios and all those, what do you call them? Some snacks. You don't snack, guys? Huh? Pistachios and what? Huh?
Cashews?
Cashews, yes. That's the one I was looking for, cashews. You like cashews? Alhamdulillah. Anyway. But these people, they just gather and they just eat the flesh of the rulers and of other people. Okay? Of course, when you come to snacking, people have different snacks, right? From one country to the other, right? And people snacks on dates, raisins. People snacks on
halwa,
sweet halwa. And people snack on some fruits, right? Healthy snacks. What else? Some snacks, real snacks, like some fruits, alhamdulillah, some grapes, some apple, some tomatoes. Why are you laughing? Tomato is a fruit. Is it a fruit or a vegetable? Tomato. Vegetable? No, it's not. It's a fruit. Tomato is a fruit. Google it. Yes, that's true. Tomato is classified as a fruit.
Vegetable.
Halwa man.
Halwa snacks.
Halwa is. Sambusa is vegetable. But I'm serious. Who can say Harshad? Tell us, tomato is a fruit or vegetable?
Fruit.
Here is from the brother. He's a teacher. And Ukasha can tell you. Hudayfa, tomato is a fruit or a vegetable? How do you know? Has seed. Ahsant. That's the reason. Because they have seed. Everything that have seed is a vegetable? Is a fruit or some have the make the exception? That's a rule? Like, because I heard that before, because they have a seed. Cucumbers have seeds. They fruits too? But anyway, tomatoes are good for you, by the way. Anyway, alhamdulillah. So we were saying that some of the youth, they get together, subhanAllah, and they start talking about the rulers. This ruler did this, this ruler is that, this ruler is this. They start making dua against them. And it becomes to spread, and it takes different forms, and then emails are sent, and you see? And the like. So here is the answer. The Sheikh said, it is well known that such speech is falsehood. The individuals that engage in this either intend evil or have been affected by other members of misguided sects. SubhanAllah, look how it is. Whether that themselves, they know what they're doing, and they intend evil by criticizing the rulers publicly, talking to the people about that, or simply they've been affected by other members of misguided sects who wish to remove these blessings that we live in. In the Sheikh, he says, all praise is due to Allah. We put our trust in our leaders and in the methodology of that we follow. However, this does not mean that all of us are perfect, he says. Okay? So that doesn't mean that we are perfect and have no deficiencies or shortcomings. Rather, we have deficiencies, but we try to rectify and correct them, if Allah wills, according to the way that have been prescribed by Islam. That's the way. Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen also, many times, Shaykh Ibn Baz, when he's asked these questions about the rulers, why we don't talk about the rulers? Why we don't talk about Jumu'ah? Why it's not permissible for a khatib on Yawm al-Jumu'ah to mention and enumerate and make a khutbah on the ruler, whether of Saudi, of Egypt, or Morocco, or Senegal, or Gambia, or a Muslim ruler? This is what he is. Is number 1, number 17, number 23, number 44. The ulama, he says, no, it's not permissible. For this is not according to what Allah has legislated. And none of the ulama, all of them, they say, look, we're not saying that our rulers are perfect. They're human beings, they have deficiencies. But the Shaykh says, but we try to rectify those matters and correct them if Allah wills, but according to the ways that have been prescribed by Islam. Not everyone comes his own way. Then he says, the Shaykh Hafidhullah says, during the time of the Prophet ﷺ, there could be found those who stole, those who fornicated, and those who drank alcohol. And the Prophet ﷺ established the set penal codes on them. All praise is due to Allah. We also have these set penal codes established with us and implement them against those who have been proven and shown to deserve the application of these legal punishments. Retribution, killing for one who is killed is also established in our land, he says. So this is all praise be to Allah. He's good, even though there may be found deficiencies in people. There is no way of escaping these deficiencies, since they are part of human nature. No one is perfect. We human, we are not. So the ruler is not. The Shaykh said, we hope that Allah will rectify our affairs, assist us in correcting ourselves, discharge our sins, and put flawlessness in place of our faults by pardoning them. Then he says, as for using faults and mistakes as a means to belittle the rulers or speak out against them or cause the citizens to hate them, then this is not the way of the Salaf. Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, Allah Akbar. This is not when you find certain people gathering and talking about the rulers in public, in a public gathering, oh, the ruler did, this is not from the word of Salaf. This is not right. Or you may attend a khutbah somewhere, or you hear that khatib talking about the rulers in this way and criticizing them, and publicly, in a class, or in a khutbah. This, you should know that this is not from the way of the Salaf. Or you may read a pamphlet or someone who claimed to be upon the way of the Salaf, but the websites full of these things, warning against the people of the Salaf. I want to read to you some of the footnotes by the brother of the Shaykh Jamal ibn Furayhan al-Harithi, Hafidallahu. He's the one who compiled these questions and adds some comments and then take it to the Shaykh. He says, the noble Shaykh, Shaykh Abdul Aziz bin Baz, rahimahullah. Okay? Shaykh Abdul Aziz bin Baz, one of the great scholars, gave a lecture called Consequences of the Tongue. As I listened to this, it was an excellent, excellent lecture in the city of Ta'if in the year 1413 of the Hijrah, few years before he died, rahimahullah. And this speech was published at the end of a small book called The Rights of the Ruler and the Subjects. It also contains some of the sermons of Shaykh Muhammad al-Uthaymeen. In this talk, Shaykh Ibn Baz rahimahullah ta'ala was asked, is it from the methodology of the Salaf to criticize the rulers while giving khutbah on the minbar? You see? Is it from the way of the Salaf? Meaning, is it good? Because that's the only way, that's the way of the Salaf, that's the right way. Is it from the methodology of the Salaf to criticize the rulers while giving a khutbah on the minbar? So he, rahimahullah, replied, it is not from the methodology, it is not from the methodology of the Salaf to propagate and mention the faults of the rulers upon the minbar, since this will lead people to indulge in speech that causes harm and brings no benefit. Rather, the method that was implemented by the Salaf was to advise in privacy between them and the leader, such as by writing to him and communicating with the scholars that have contact with him until he turns to good.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya 'ala s-salah. Hayya 'ala s-salah. على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
Now, after the statement of Sheikh Ibn Baz, you mentioned the statement of one of the great scholars of our time as well, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah. He said in the same book mentioned above, page 11, from the rights the rulers have over their subjects is that they mutually advise them and instruct them, and that they do not take their errors, if they any, as an excuse to attack them and spread their faults amongst the people. This is since it will cause people to flee from them and hate them, and this will lead them to hate the actions they do, even though they may have a legitimate right in doing them. It will also cause the people to not hear and obey them, meaning they won't want to hear the rulers. So it is an obligation upon every advisor, especially those advising the leaders, to use wisdom when advising and to call to the way of his Lord with wisdom and fair admonition. The speech of these noble scholars stems from the guidance of the Messenger of Allah. See, this, the Ikhwan Muslimin, they do the opposite. Look what happened in Libya and all, in Egypt and Tunisia. The Ikhwan used the khutab, minbar, internet, television, talking about the faults of the ruler. Husni Mubarak did this, Husni didn't do this, blah, blah, blah. Turned the people after Jumu'ah, people rallying in the streets, killing each other. See, that's what happened. He said that the speech of these noble scholars, Sheikh Al-Baz, Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen and others, stems from the guidance of the Messenger of Allah. Examples of this have been reported in authentic hadith, such as it is reported in the book As-Sunnah of Ibn Abi Asim, volume 2, page 351, and Al-Mustadrak of Al-Hakim, 3/290, and the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, 3/404, from the narration of Iyad ibn Ghannam, that the Messenger of Allah said, whoever has some advice for the leader should speak it out. Whoever has some advice for the leader should not speak it out in public. He said he should speak it, so that's a mistake. Can I have a pen? Jazakallah. Those who have the English, correct that. Should not speak it out in public. Rather, he should take his hand, meaning the ruler hand, and sit with him in privacy. So if he accepts it, if the ruler accepts it, accepts the advice, then he accepts it. And if he doesn't, then that person who was advising has performed what is required for him and what is for him. That's it. You don't go in a khutbah class on the internet and put all... No. You go to the person in privacy. He accepted, alhamdulillah. The ruler don't accept it, alhamdulillah. You did what Allah commanded you to do, to advise. And you find the Ikhwan Muslimun, Sururiyun, Qutbiyun, all these people, the Khawarij, they're like, no, the ulama, they just ulama of the rulers. They hired by the rulers and they work for the rulers. You never heard them advise the ruler, is it? Is this statement is for them or against them? Is this something good for the ulama or not? Good, since you never heard them on a khutbah or in a class talking bad about the ruler, that's good because they are on the way of the Salaf. But the Ikhwanis, they think the one who's good is the one who get on a minbar and refute the rulers and mention their faults all over the place. That's not how it works. The wording of this hadith, the Shaykh, he says, is from Al-Hakim, and it is a sound hadith. He said, look at the example of the Imam of Ahl-Sunnah, Ahmad ibn Hanbal, may Allah have mercy on him. Ameen. He was beaten with a whip, dragged on the floor, and imprisoned due to the issue of the Qur'an being created. But in spite of this, he would refer to him, meaning to the ruler who did all this then, as the commander of the believers, and tell the people, do not rebel against the leader. Be patient. SubhanAllah. Don't we have a good example in our righteous predecessors? Or is it that we are more knowledgeable and braver than them? Imam Ibn Rajab, we finish with this. Imam Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali rahimahullah said in his book Jami' al-Ulum al-Hikam, page 113, sincere advice to the Muslim leaders means cooperating with them upon the truth, obeying them, reminding them, cautioning them with gentleness and ease, preventing an uprise against them, and supplicating for them to be guided. Imam al-Shawkani said in his book, رفع الأساطين في حكم الاتصال بالسلاطين, page 81-82, it is well established in the mighty book that we are commanded to obey the ruler. Allah put obeying the rulers after obeying him and obeying the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there are many ahadith in the purified sunnah, the main collections and other books that state that it is obligatory to obey them and to be patient with their oppression. One of the ahadith where the Prophet ﷺ commanded us to obey them, the Muslim rulers, consists of the words, even if he, meaning the ruler, beats your back and takes your money. It is also authentically reported on him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he said, give them what they are entitled to, meaning of rights. Give them their rights. And ask Allah for what you are entitled to of your rights. So it's very important, ikhwan, to understand. Because sometimes you may get in a meeting, in a gathering, in a walima, in a aqiqah, you may be traveling with certain people, and they just start talking about the rulers, this and this. Tell them, ya akhwan, this is not the way of the Salaf. It doesn't bring no good. We do not, the Muslims don't talk like this. If anyone has seen something, now the rulers are not perfect, they have deficiencies, but people have to address these matters in the way that is legislated, as the Sheikh mentioned. Let the ulama write to the alim, and the ulama, alhamdulillah, they can write the nice letters to those rulers, alhamdulillah, to remind them of Allah. Hada wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Muhammad wa ala alihi sahbihi wa sallam. Sorry to take up a moment.